Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and we're reading today from the Olivet Discourse Commentary. This will be our final episode of that, where Jesus talks about the great escape from the wrath of God. Look at 21:36 of Luke. But stay alert at all times, praying that you will have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, this is the last episode, as I said, and if you haven't been with us the whole time, it's hard to explain all that I just said and all that we've already talked about, but it's Jesus telling his disciples when he is going to come. They asked him a specific question. He gave them a specific answer as to a description of the season, the times that will be going on when he comes, and he's especially starting at Matthew 24:15 and following. But notice what he says here, something about escaping. Right away, the rapture people say, yep, that's us, pre-trib rapture, totally taken out of context. This verse is used by some to say that we can, by good works, escape the coming tribulation. But the placement of this warning is at the very end of that time of trouble. That lets us know that Jesus is speaking about servants who remain faithful in the darkest of times and are therefore called to escape what? The final wrath of God at Jesus' coming. We have not been called to endure God's wrathful judgment. No one of us is called, though, to escape trials and tribulations, even the great tribulation. No, we are not called to escape that. There is no scripture anywhere that says we escape the tribulation. And now the 10 virgins. We're in chapter 25, and from now on, we'll just be doing Matthew, because Mark and Luke do not go here at all with the 10 virgins and everything else that follows in this chapter. It's all about Matthew. He kept listening as Jesus kept talking, and he wrote down these things later. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. Five of them were foolish, five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take extra oil with them. But the prudent ones took oil in flasks with their lamps. Now, while the groom was delaying, they all became drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there finally was a shout. Behold, the groom, come out to meet him. And then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish virgins said to the prudent ones, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. However, the prudent ones answered, no, there most certainly would not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to do just that, to buy the oil, the groom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And yet later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, because you do not know the day nor the hour. The Olivet Discourse does not end, as I said, in Matthew 24. It extends for one more chapter with a continuation of warnings. The Father, speaking through Jesus, knew that the promised coming would not be for many centuries, and emphasizes faithfulness in every generation by calling his people to stay awake. Here's a story of an entire group of, quote, believers who all seem to be on the same page in terms of being invited to the wedding, but on different terms in the matter of preparation. Half of this church had not dealt with the things of the Spirit, but seemed to be virgin in name only. They were of the sort that dabbled in church matters, but not in the deeper matters of Christ. They probably were not even born again of God's Spirit, but were merely church members. They were surprised. They were in panic when their day came. Jesus warns all believers to examine themselves, to be sure that they're in the faith. Then the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents immediately went and did business with them, earned 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received the 2 earned 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master." Now, the one who had received the 1 talent also came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. And so I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you still have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You worthless, lazy slave. Did you know that I reap where I did not sow, gather where I did not scatter seed? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, at least, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, well, even what he has shall be taken away. And throw the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here's another harsh warning and a clue that the master is on a long journey. That is, it may be a long time before he returns. No connection is made to some immediate return, but rather an exhortation to be faithful in all the master's dealings while he is away. Worthless slaves can only mean those who were pretenders, and eventually who were forced to lie and make excuses about not doing anything for the Lord. Less than super disciples are given less than super rewards, but non-disciples are cast into outer darkness. Finally, there's the judgment of the nations. Verses 31 to 46. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them from one another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed people, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me.' Then they themselves also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me either. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The discourse ends not with another parable, but a preview of an extraordinary event. It's actually going to happen. I don't believe that this story, this prophecy, has been given its due in the way it has been interpreted over the years. First, notice that it is nations and not individuals that are gathered before him. They're divided into two groups based on their personal service to him or the absence thereof. Then look at their responses to his praise or condemnation. They act surprised that he would single them out for their deeds or misdeeds and apply their work for others to himself. But if this indeed is a story of what will happen in that day, how could most any true believer be surprised at such a thing? He's been reading this story for centuries, as I just read it to you, and you've heard it many times. No surprise among us. It seems rather that Gentile nations, many of whose people did not know the Lord, are shocked to hear that their service to God's people during the tribulation is now being rewarded personally by the one that it affected most. And for those who see the church being separated into sheep and goats, take another look. Chapter 25 follows right on the heels of chapter 24, during which the day of Christ has already come. The saints have already been gathered together in the sky and are probably seated nearby as Jesus gives this oration to the nations. It is nations that are separated here, not Christians. Those nations that showed some favor to the Jews or Christians are allowed to enter the millennial kingdom and thus become the basis of the world that Jesus and his saints will rule over for the next 1,000 years. As I stated way back at the beginning of this study, this is only a beginning. Now, the student of this prophecy and all prophecy, you must visit in earnest other chapters in the Bible, like in Paul and John, that provide the rest of the story. And each addition by an apostle will only encourage you that he's coming closer and closer to the truth about the things that shall surely come our way. Thank you for listening. Please look around my site. We have over 3,300 audios featuring some of the church's great preachers, persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, and a blog. If you want more fellowship, please consider visiting my YouTube channel known as Pasture Lands, or buying one of my books at Amazon.com, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And I'll share details of our local ministry, our Saturday evening Zoom meeting for men, and our Tuesday noon meeting for men and women. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on June the 6th, 2022. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.